Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
I was only 12 when my dad started working as a repo man. And I thought it was so cool. The way he described it made me think he was some sort of mercenary, you know. He sat me down and said to me, "Hey buddy, I'm going to work. A guy didn't make his car payments on time, so the dealership is sending me out to take his car away." And being 12, I responded with, "Well, did the guy say you could take it?" And my dad would chuckle and say, No, he didn't. But he's a bad guy who won't pay for the thing he bought. So in a way, he's stealing it. And thieves are bad. So I'm the good guy the car sellers are having fix the problem." Well, as a 12-year-old who was more into Power Rangers, it checked out to me. I did think it was a little weird he would only go to work at night. But if he was taking things from people, it made sense to go when they'd likely be asleep. It was 3 weeks after he talked to me that he got badly beat up. My father is a big man. He's 6'5 and 275 pounds. He used to be morbidly obese, had a heart attack, and then decided to get fit as hell and turned into a health nut who can bench twice his body weight. Between his size and his bushy brown and grey beard, bald head, and nose ring that made him look like a bull, he was a scary son of a gun. Seeing him sitting in a warm bath, his face smashed into ground beef, was jarring. As soon as I entered the bathroom, he looked up at me and smiled, and I could see he was missing a tooth or several. "Hey champ, how do you sleep?" I couldn't respond, and he nodded. "Yeah, it's pretty nasty. The guy last night didn't want to hand over his car. I tried to take it away. Him and his asshole friend decided to come at me with hammers. I'm lucky his girlfriend called the cops, honestly." My mom ran off a couple years after I was born, so it was just me and Dad. I did the best I could to help take care of him, getting him food and medicine while he laid in bed recovering. After a few days, he was able to walk around fine, and after a week and a half, he was ready to go back out. The day he left again, I gave him my Power Ranger sword to keep him safe from the bad guys. He laughed a big belly laugh and said, "Thank you, buddy. I might need it." After that night, he didn't come home beat up anymore, at least not as bad as before. Every once in a while, there'd be a scratch on his face or a black eye, but nothing debilitating. Naturally, I assumed it was my plastic sword that was responsible for his newfound security. Jeez, I wish it was that simple. Years passed, and my dad kept the job, and it paid well. We ate well, had a nice house, a nice car, and there was a sizable college fund set aside for me. By the time I turned 17, I was working at the car lot my dad repoed for, and all around, it was a good life. One night, my dad asked me if I wanted to ride along with him on a job. "Hey buddy, the guy hasn't made his payments in 3 months. The lot is having me go collect. You're a good man now. You want to come?" Of course I did. Who wouldn't want to? Obviously, the wide-eyed admiration had died down, slightly, but I still thought the job was awesome. We hopped in the truck my dad used for work, a dirty old 1978 Ford F-150. The drive was pretty long, and we listened to the soundtrack of one of my dad's favourite movies on the way out there. It's some weird sci-fi dystopian thing. I think there's opera in the title. I'm not totally sure. After about an hour, we arrived at the guy's house. An old farmhouse in the woods. The house was a three-story home with peeling white paint and a covered porch out front. A real dream home for some people. There was also a barn off to one side with a few cars inside, some in better shape than the others. I could make out the one we were here for though, sitting just inside. A red Mustang. The dream car of every midlife crisis sufferer. As soon as we pulled up, a man exited the house with a gun in his hand. I tried to duck down, but my dad grabbed me by the wrist. "Hey, don't worry about him, bud. We'll be all right." He slid out of the car and I followed, somewhat reluctantly. The man raised his gun, a double-barreled shotgun, and pointed it at my father, who was standing by the truck with his hands up. I ducked down behind the cab and walked over behind the bed of the truck, peeking out from behind the taillight. "Hey sport, why don't you put that thing down and we can talk like normal people?" The man laughed, a harsh bark in the quiet Oregon evening. "No way, asshole. I know who you are, and I know that you're here for more than the car. Well, you aren't getting it. You aren't getting anything." He fired the gun, and my dad ducked down and charged him. The buckshot shattered the window that was right next to Dad's head, and before the man could fire the second shot, he was on the ground, the gun knocked away. "Carter, get over here and help me." I ran over to see my dad punching the man in the face. His nose was bent at a sickening angle, blood pouring down his chin and pooling around his head. "Grab me the zip ties from the glove compartment, quickly. Please, this guy's a squirmer." I ran back to the truck and popped open the compartment. It was a Ziploc bag full of zip ties, resting on top of an old menu from a roadside diner we frequented. I grabbed them, but as I latched the compartment shut again, I heard my dad swear. I started to move back, but the man had somehow gotten loose from my dad and was pointing his gun at me now. "Hey kid, you know what it is your dad does for a living?" He was pointing the gun at me, but looking at my dad, who was kneeling, glaring at the armed man. I nodded. "He takes cars back from assholes like you who won't pay for them." The man snorted. Whether it was on purpose, or because of the busted schnoz, I wasn't sure. "Yeah, not exactly. He does more than take cars, kid. Your dad's a..." I dove for the man, keeping my head down, and he turned his head and tried to fire. But I was too quick for him, and my knee connected with his crotch before he could get his shot off. He grunted and fell over again, and I jammed my thumb against his nose to make sure he stayed down. He screamed, and my dad came up behind me and patted me on the back. "That was stupid, bud. Don't do that again. It'll get you killed." He opened the bag of zip ties and bound the man's hands and feet. The man tried to fight back, but I pinched his nose every time he moved, and eventually, he gave up and let it happen. My dad fished around the guy's pockets and found the car keys and tossed them to me. "Go pull the car out and park it behind the truck. I'm going to take care of this guy, and then we can hitch it up." As I walked towards the barn, I saw a woman peeking out of one of the windows on the side of the house. As soon as she saw me looking, she ducked back behind the curtains. I made a mental note to mention it and pulled the car around, incident free. I parked the car behind the Ford as my dad was hoisting the man over his shoulders. "Hey, Dad, what are you doing with him?" He turned to look at me, grinning. "Well, son, the dealership wants to meet with people who don't think they have to make their payments. They love to hear the explanations, and they usually try and work out some sort of payment plan there too." "Oh, okay. Also, I think I saw someone inside the house, peeking out from behind the curtains when I was getting the car. Some lady." Dad threw the man into the back of the truck and closed the tailgate. "Well, damn. That changes this operation quite a bit, champ. Thanks for letting me know." He opened the truck door and pulled out a tool bag. He opened it up and pulled out a few items. A tow hook, a length of chain, a short pipe, a hammer, a railroad spike, and a handgun. "Alright, bud, pick your poison." Dad laughed and walked over to the shotgun the man dropped earlier. He didn't have any ammo on him, but I'm sure there's some in the house. "Dad, what do you mean, pick your poison?" "Well, we've got to bring whoever else is in the house along too. Maybe this lady of his knows something about why the payments have fallen behind." "Well, why do you have a gun and a spike?" "Son, sometimes people try and hurt you for doing the right thing." He gestured with a shotgun. "And this is just insurance of a sort." I nodded. "Okay, are we going to hurt these people?" "Well, gee, I sure hope not. But if they make us, I can't say for sure. I'm not gonna let anything happen to you. That's my number one concern." I grabbed the hammer. "Okay, let's go then." My dad smiled, the moonlight shining in his dark eyes. "Your mother would be proud of you, champ." He grabbed the tow hooks, its old tarnished metal rough to the touch, tossed the shotgun and tool bag back in the truck, and we set off towards the house. When we passed the bag of zip ties, he grabbed them and tossed them to me. "We'll need to restrain them, just like the guy in the truck." As we approached the front door, I heard a deep voice murmuring softly behind it. Dad heard it too, and smirked. He gestured for me to stand on one side, and he stood in the other and pushed the door open. A boy, who looked only slightly older than me, jumped out, holding a bat. He yelled and swung as he leapt, but seeing nobody, he stopped. Before he could look to see us, Dad brought the hook down in an overhead strike that caught the boy in the center of the scalp. He cried out and fell to his knees, and I stepped out and swung the hammer. It connected between the boy's eyes, and he fell backwards, blood leaking from his various head wounds. Dad looked down at him, head tilted to one side. "Tie his hands, but not his feet. Even if he wakes up at all, he's not going to be walking." I nodded and did as Dad said, pulling the boy out of the doorway so we could close it behind us. We stepped into the foyer and could see into the kitchen, living room, and up a flight of stairs. Dad stepped ahead of me. "I'll search upstairs. You said you saw a lady. There's at least one more person, maybe more. You look down here. Yell if you need me." I nodded, and Dad ruffled my hair before going up the stairs. I watched him go and took a deep breath before heading into the living room. You know how old-timey farm families had huge families, like 15 kids or so? Well, I saw a picture on the mantelpiece that made me think we time-traveled. Standing in the back was the man we currently had tied up in our truck, standing next to a woman who looked like she'd be great at peeking out from behind curtains. And all around them were at least 10 kids, including the one we'd incapacitated in the entryway. "Dad, you need to see this." No sooner than I yelled for him, I heard a yell behind me. I spun around to see a girl my age running at me, holding a fire poker above her head. I jumped out of the way before she could reach me, but a swing caught me in the ankle as I jumped, and the pain shot through my leg. I landed on the couch, and the girl turned to come at me again. "You hurt my papa, you asshole!" She thrusted the poker like a spear, and I shifted in time to avoid being shish kebabbed. I jumped up and swung the hammer, but she ducked and I hit nothing but air. She pulled the poker out of the couch and swung it at me again. And my dodge took me off balance and I fell flat on my ass. The girl was on top of me in an instant, having dropped the poker and pulled a small knife out of the waistline of her pajamas. I caught a downward stab and was able to hold her hand. I caught a downward stab and was able to hold her hand out of stabbing range, but I couldn't do much to get away. After a few moments in this position, I saw something swing into my field of vision, and the next thing I knew, there was a hook jutting out of the girl's chin, and blood was leaking down into my face. She tried to speak and to pull out the hook, but my dad's hands lifted her by the hook, and she fell silent, her body limp. I scrambled to my feet, too ashamed to even look Dad in the eye. I'm sorry, she just surprised me and... Hey, it's fine. It's your first trip out. Everyone gets caught off guard sometimes. Just try to pay more attention. Now, what were you calling me down here for? I pointed to the family picture. It looks like there's going to be a lot of people around. Dad shook his head. Well, damn. This complicates things quite a bit. I haven't seen anyone upstairs yet, but this isn't a good sign. I'm going to call the dealership and ask for backup. You stay here or search the kitchen. See if you can at least find the wife. He walked to the foyer and pulled out his cell phone, pressed a few buttons, and started talking to someone about an extra truck for cargo and about sending another repo man out to help with the load. I picked up my hammer and walked into the kitchen, braced for a fight. Sure enough, the wife from the picture jumped up from behind the counter, holding a frying pan. She was sobbing, barely able to hold the pan on account of her shaking hands. I moved towards her, and she made a half-hearted swing. I grabbed the pan from her hands and turned it back on her, smashing her in the jaw with it. She fell, smacking her head against the tile. No sooner than I set down the pan, a teenage boy ran in, yelling about his mama. He was holding a wrench and swung it into my ribs when he got close. I doubled over, dropping the hammer. He tried to hit me in the head, but I was able to dodge his swing and punch him in the throat. He stumbled backwards, and I grabbed the pan again, swinging it into his nose. He cried out, but he was tougher than his mom, and he shrugged it off. I pulled open a drawer and reached blindly in, and grabbed what turned out to be a turkey baster. Implications aside, that wasn't going to be much help. I threw it at him and reached in again, this time pulling out a rolling pin. That'll do. I swung the pin as the boy approached, and as he ducked, I brought my knee up into his face. His head shot backwards, and blood started to run from his nose. While he was dazed, I swung the pin again, this time connecting. I struck him in the side of the head, and he bounced off the fridge on his way down to the ground beside his mother. I let out a deep breath, letting the pin fall to the floor. I dug down to tie the pair up, binding their hands and feet before pulling them towards the foyer. Dad was still standing there, and he smiled when he saw me. Damn, I'm impressed. Let's get them out to the truck, along with the other two. I've got a co-worker coming out with his van to take care of the rest of them, and then we're going to meet at the dealership. It took two trips to get the family members loaded up. The man, who we already loaded up, screamed when we loaded the girl from the living room into the truck. He started calling us all sorts of names, even though we only did what we had to for self-defense. We got all the bodies loaded in, and after a few minutes, Dad's co-worker pulled up in his van. He got out, and he had a striking resemblance to Dad. The pair talked for a few minutes, and then the co-worker came over to me. "You're Kevin's son." I nodded. "He tells me you did a good job in there. Nice work, kid. We could always use another NQ repo man like us, and it sounds like you've got what it takes." "NQ?" The co-worker chuckled. "No questions." He went back to his van and pulled out a tool bag of his own. "I got the rest of this handled. I'll see you guys back at the dealership." Dad waved to him and watched him go inside. Then he turned to me and put a hand on my shoulder. "You okay?" I nodded. "They were bad people. We did what we had to. They got what they deserved." Dad smiled. "I'm glad you understand that. Let's go. Lots of paperwork to fill out when we get back. He hitched the red Mustang up with the grace of a man who's done it 100 times, and we hopped back into the truck and headed back to town. The dealership was situated next to an artificial lake, and when we pulled up, the owner, a man who said his name was Dallas, but most of his employees called him DM, was waiting for us. DM's height and build were as average as could be, but he could charm the slither off a snake, as my grandma used to say. It was good that he was that charming, since his hair had enough goo in it to make any normal person sick. He always kind of overdressed for the job too. He wore the same thing every day. Black suit, black shirt, grey vest, red tie. He smiled wide as the Cheshire Cat when he saw us. And when Dad stepped out of the truck, he yelled out, "Kevin, get a good haul today." "Oh yes, boss, a real good one. Want to send someone to get the car?" DM nodded and spoke into a radio he always kept strapped to his belt. "And you brought young Carter along. How was your first job?" I smiled. "It was great. We gave the thieves what they deserved, and now they'll be punished for it." DM nodded. "Glad to see you can see things our way." He looked over at Dad. "Kevin, I'll have someone bring a cart for the bodies around. They'll be inspected to see if we can still get a payment plan going for them, or if they're too damaged." Dad nodded. "Carter never did this before. He might have hit them in the head a bit too hard for them to be worth anything as is." DM looked at me. "Hey, first time, it's no worry." And then to Dad again. "Well, we can sell them for scrap in that case. If they're totaled, they aren't totally worthless, right?" Both of them laughed as a stainless steel cart was wheeled out to the tailgate. The guy pushing it detached the Mustang and drove it off to the shop. DM led me away from the truck and looked me in the eye. "Carter, are you sure you're alright? Do you understand what's going to happen to these people?" "Trust me, sir, I'd speak up if they didn't deserve this. They made their bed. Now they can lie in it." DM smiled. "Glad to hear you think so." He looked back at Dad, loading them onto the cart, and sighed. "Next time, though, try to make it so we don't have to scrap so many of them.